So starting from verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you."
I don't know about you, but I hate that feeling of being left out, being an outsider to a group, a club, or something important or exciting. Whether it's being left off the invite list to a party or not being able to get tickets to the gig or sporting event because it's sold out, your friends made the list, but you are left on the outside of the event. Well, being from New Zealand, I'm even an outsider when it comes to living and staying in the UK. In fact, it's taken me 7 years and £4,000 to get my insider visa, giving me the right to stay and work here long term. And speaking of work, I work for a large Swiss bank. So this feeling of being an outsider just keeps getting exacerbated. Often when I walk into work, I see the sign-in desk for a conference that is happening in the building, the 2018 London Oil and Gas Conference, or the Global Hedge Fund Conference. Important-looking people wearing name badges that give them the access rights that they need to enter. Occasionally, they even have the Global Managing Director gatherings here in London, where they discuss the visions and directions of the business. Imagine how interesting it would be to meet with other senior managers to plan the future roadmap of the organisation. And then to top it off, to get to my desk on level 9, I travel in the lift past the client suites. Special guests get out to enjoy silver service dining and luxury lounges. Those well-dressed elite wearing their lanyards with their names on them, which are the special membership tokens for being insiders. We all want a seat at the table, don't we? We all want that feeling of being included, being an insider to the negotiation table, the member stand, the inner circle. Nobody wants to feel like they're left on the outside when it matters. Well, the membership in question for us today is arguably a lot more significant. And what we've been learning about up until this point in Luke's Gospel and in our sights today is membership to the kingdom of God, eternal life. Relationship with God in his kingdom. The right to call God, who created the entire universe, your father. Well, this membership issue is not only a 21st issue. It was also a first century issue. We see that in verse 20 of our reading. The Pharisees, who were the Jewish elite of the day, are concerned about this, and they ask Jesus when the kingdom of God would arrive. How can we be certain that this is even true, that there is a kingdom and access to it is possible? Or maybe another way of asking this is probably what you were thinking as the passage was read. How does a story about lepers being cleansed 2,000 years ago have anything relevant for me today in 21st century Britain? Well, this document that you have in your hand is one of the four Gospels in the Bible, which are eyewitness accounts of the life of Jesus. It records where Jesus went, what he did, and what he said. And Luke the writer is like an external consultant that has been brought into a firm to do a detailed analysis. He carefully meets with all the employees across the entire organisation, and showing the utmost care, he interviews, documents, and prepares his report for the board of directors. Turn back with me, actually, to the start of this document. So if you have a look on the third page, I'm just going to read a few verses from the top, and we're going to hear what Luke, the gospel writer, says about his account. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught. You see, not only is Luke a historian meeting with the people and capturing eyewitness details, but he's also writing his account with an intended purpose. And he does this by carefully constructing what he calls an orderly account. You see, it's the external consultant's aim in preparing his report is to give the reader certainty in the things laid out in the report. Now turn back with me to our passage on page 57 again. And you'll see there at the start of verse 11, we get a narrative marker on the way to Jerusalem. Luke divides this orderly account that he's written into sections and uses these Jerusalem narrative markers to signpost the sections. The material in the previous section, which started back in chapter 13, answered the question, will those who are saved into God's kingdom be few? And the answer that we saw was many will be saved, but it's not who you're expecting. And in this next section starts in verse 11. And the question posed is the one that I mentioned in verse 20 by the Pharisees. When will the kingdom arrive? And we'll go on to see that the full answer to that question will be now and not yet. The kingdom is already here, but there is more to come. So if the kingdom is in the midst of us, how can we gain access to it? Or to put it in Luke's words, how can we be certain of membership into God's kingdom? Well, in these verses that we're about to look at, we encounter two groups of people who teach us two lessons about membership in God's kingdom. One group are the outsiders, who are outcasts, untouchables, complete nobodies. They have no access rights, no membership to be on the inside. And the other group are the insiders. Well, at least they think they are. They appear to have the right membership access, the right acceptance, but in actual fact, as we will see, they are mistaken and they end up on the outside. So it's these two lessons that will instruct us and guide us today. And you'll see on your handouts that I've given each lesson a title, and we're going to take them in turn now. So lesson number one, don't miss your opportunity to become an insider. Let's dive into the text. Verse 11, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. And they lifted up their voice saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, on his way to his final destination, Jerusalem, enters a village and then has this encounter with 10 lepers. Today, leprosy can be treated with antibiotics and healed successfully. However, without the NHS or a company private health insurance policy, leprosy was a big deal. The consequences of a leprosy outbreak was deadly. The only way to treat leprosy was through segregation. The lepers were cut off from their communities, their friends, and even their families. Probably the only equivalent today would be something like an Ebola outbreak. It was treated that seriously. And you can just imagine the scene, can't you? Outcasts of society because of this infectious disease. And they come as close as they dare and shout out to Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They identify something special about Jesus, addressing him as Master. They've obviously heard of Jesus' ministry. Perhaps they've even heard how he healed another leper just by touching him. Well, Jesus, how does Jesus respond? He responds instantly with compassion and instruction. Verse 14. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Instantly, they were cleansed. the debilitating illness that had caused them to be segregated from their own people and placed them on such a low status and position in society, gone, healed, cleansed. But isn't it interesting what Jesus says to them? He says, go and show yourselves to the priest. Did you hear that? You were probably wondering why they were sent back to the priests. What have the Jewish priests got to do with skin diseases? Well, you see, without getting into all the Old Testament detail, it was the priests who executed the Jewish law and ensured compliance with it, evaluating the lepers to decide if they were now clean. But the interesting thing in the Old Testament law is that it's also the priests who would make a sacrifice for a leper in order for them to be deemed clean. Not only did the lepers need physical cleansing to make them inside as God's people again, but they needed to follow these religious practices to gain spiritual cleansing if they were to become insiders with God again. And that could be the end of the story, couldn't it? Another miraculous sign done by Jesus. And if you'd been reading through Luke's gospel up till now, you would have seen a lot of these. And if the account had ended here, we would have certainty that these lepers had gained membership back into their community. Their leprosy is gone. The cleansing required of them to be welcomed back in was successful. But then comes the surprise. Have a look at verse 15. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "We're not 10 cleansed, we're the 9. Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Whereas before the leper stood at a distance, now one of the healed lepers returns and draws near to Jesus. Whereas before the leper shouted for mercy from Jesus, the healed leper returns praising God with a loud voice. And who is it that returns and shows gratitude towards Jesus? Well, Luke makes it really clear, doesn't he? He is a Samaritan. A foreigner. Samaritans were hated by the Jewish people for being outsiders. Probably the best present day example to explain how Samaritans were considered by the Jewish people is the Palestinians in the 20th and 21st century. In Jewish people's eyes, they were spiritually compromised, morally and ethically unclean. So not only was this man an outsider for being a leper, he was also a foreigner, which made him a double outsider. And this outsider realizes who Jesus is and comes and falls on his face and worships him. And what is Jesus' response to this outsider? "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." If you had a large full-size Bible in your hands instead of just the gospel, you would have a footnote next to the words "made you well" that say it literally means your faith has saved you. You see, the thing is that he was already made well when it says that he walked away cleansed. So what Jesus says here is different. Jesus doesn't send him back to the priests again to perform the religious ritual that was required to bring him back into the community, but instead grants him salvation and reconciliation with God on the spot. What gives Jesus the right to say someone is saved? What about the sacrifice stipulated in the Jewish law that was required to bring people back into relationship with God? Well, earlier I mentioned that Jesus was journeying to his final destination of Jerusalem. And I'm sure I don't need to be the one to tell you that that journey ended in Jesus' death on the cross. All the sacrifices for sin made in the Old Testament religious practices were pointing forwards to the one-time-only sacrifice of Jesus' death in place of all sinners. Can you imagine, just for a moment, being this leper, growing up in Israel as a Samaritan, hated by lots of those around you, considered a foreigner in your own country, an outsider with the wrong heritage? Then one day you notice a rash starting to form on your arm. And then another, and another. And they don't go away. You and those around you realize that you have leprosy. And the dread on their faces as they abandon you to the outcast camp haunts you every day. You have absolutely nothing going for you. You are condemned to live in a colony with other untouchables. And then one day, out of the blue, Jesus walks into your village and your destiny is changed forever. Not only is your skin cleansed and restored, but you are granted membership into God's kingdom. You have absolutely nothing to bring to the table, but you are in. And you might be sitting here now wondering, where are the other nine? Did you see how Jesus' response in verse 17 highlights their absence? Have a look at that now. We're not 10 cleansed. Then again, where are the other nine? Then again, was no one found to return and praise God except this foreigner? The other nine lepers walk away confident in their religious practices and miss the opportunity to become real insiders, effectively turning down the membership into God's kingdom that is on offer. I guess this would be something like going to your local church every Christmas and Easter for most of your life, and yet still you haven't acknowledged Jesus as your king, actually worshipping him or coming under his rule. Or perhaps even more poignantly, going to church or the mosque or temple week in and week out, and never turning to Jesus and believing him and worshipping him as God. Jesus shows us in this account that it's not religion that can save you. It's only him. So the lesson from the nine lepers that walk away is don't miss your opportunity to become an insider. And now for the second lesson from the Pharisees, much more briefly. Don't assume that you're already an insider. Verse 20 and 21. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God will come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you.'" The question the Pharisees ask in verse 20 is this key question to this section of Luke. When will the kingdom come? On the surface, it's not a bad question, is it? Any good senior manager or stakeholder of a project asks when the project will realize its value. But in fact, Jesus' response to them reveals their state of mind. They are expecting to see some physical sign here or there that reveals that the kingdom's here. And despite all the healings and all the other miracles that Jesus has performed, the Pharisees have still not seen enough. So they ask Jesus when that kingdom's going to come. All the way through Luke's gospel, we've seen those sorts of questions from the Pharisees. See, the Pharisees are actually the ancestral insiders to God's kingdom. Well, at least they kind of think they are. Resting on their birthright and their own actions, they are ignoring the signs that God's kingdom has already arrived in Jesus. The king is standing right there in front of them, and they refuse to see him for who he is. They assume that they are already insiders and completely miss the opportunity to become actual insiders in his kingdom. Imagine one day I arrive to work and I'm running a little late. I see a large sign over the special side entrance to the auditorium advertising the 2018 UBS Managing Director Global Gathering with Sergio Ermotti, who is the CEO of UBS. I think to myself, oh drat, I'm running late for this gathering. I hope it hasn't already started. So I run up to somebody that I don't recognise in the foyer and I say to them, sorry, do you just mind asking the gathering to wait for me so that I can go upstairs and change my shoes? I won't be long. Sergio replies to me, "I'm sorry, the gathering has already started, and it's only for insiders. You don't have the right access privilege. Security, please escort this man out." Look, I know that is an absurd story, but the mistake the Pharisees make is just as absurd. And Jesus replies and tells them not to expect some other sign that the kingdom is here, some physical uprising against the Roman rulers of the day, or some man-made solution to their man-made problems. Pharisees, the kingdom is already in the midst of you. You are talking to the king. He's been showing you all the signs that he's already here. We can actually be like this ourselves, you know. I think we often think that God will just accept us on our own terms. We go searching for a kingdom that we've designed in our own heads. We assume that we're already insiders. Well, Luke's account of the 10 lepers and ultimately this one leper, written on the pages of history, gives us the certainty that we need that the kingdom is already here. So lesson number 2, don't assume you're already an insider. My role at work is a IT project manager. In project management, there are 3 variables to control in successfully delivering a project. There's a project scope, what will be developed and delivered. There's a project budget, how much will it cost? And there's a project time frame or duration, how long will it take? Well, in conclusion to this talk, I'm just going to use those parameters to review Jesus' kingdom project. What is the scope of Jesus' project? Well, we've seen today that the scope is broad. Anyone from anywhere can come in, even double outsiders. There is no restriction, no corporate level required, no heritage or country of origin, no minimum capital investment required, no practice, religious or otherwise. We may not have that leprosy on our skins or be separated from our family and community, but we are separated from God because of our sin. In order for us to become insiders with God in God's kingdom, we need to accept that we have that problem and that Jesus is the answer to that problem. And we see an example of exactly that in the Samaritan leper, a nobody, an outcast, and an untouchable. And he's in, saved for eternity into God's kingdom. He responded in faith to Jesus, turned back and acknowledged him as king. And that's it. And the 9 lepers who walk away in their religious practices miss the opportunity to be saved by Jesus. They miss the great high priest right in front of them, who is ready and able to grant them reconciliation and membership with God. And what about the cost of Jesus' project? Well, the cost for us to accept this insider offer, as I've said, is free. We don't pay a thing to get this invaluable insider access, better than any work gathering, client summit, or elite club. But the question is the cost free for God in this project? Now, you see, the cost is extreme, to say the least. The Old Testament priest was able to declare a person clean of leprosy after transferring that person's sin onto a bird or animal that was then killed and sacrificed. But in actual fact, even then, as it is today, Jesus is the great high priest and is able to declare us clean by transferring our sin through our faith in his sacrifice onto himself, and this will win the forgiveness of our sins. Let me say that in a much simpler way. If we have faith in Jesus' death on the cross and accept that he has paid the price for our sins, we will be forgiven for all the wrong that we've done in our lives. Jesus will wear the cost of our membership with God in order for us to become insiders. And lastly, the third parameter, the time frame. Has the project started yet, and how long will it take? Well, there is that future aspect to the completion of Jesus' project, and this will be discussed in next week's talk, so please do come back. But we've also seen that there's a present aspect to this project too. It has already started. It's in the midst of you. Access to God's kingdom is available today. Luke's concern with writing this gospel is to give you certainty about why Jesus has come and what he has achieved. How can you be certain that you have access to the kingdom of God? Well, if you turn back to Jesus and acknowledge him as Lord, just like the Samaritan leper, you can be certain in that very moment. I don't know if you're like me and you hate that feeling of being left out, being an outsider. Please don't go away today without having at least contemplated the opportunity in front of you of being included in God's kingdom. Let me pray. The kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the arrival 2,000 years ago of your King. Thank you for giving us certainty by showing us the evidence of the eyewitness testimony of his arrival. Thank you for the extraordinary life that he lived, cleansing lepers, performing other miraculous signs. Help us, Father, to accept Jesus' unconditional offer of mercy, of membership into your kingdom. And please don't let us walk away today without at least contemplating the implications for ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.